The Real Deal, episode 176, Fiber versus Copper. Welcome to CNET.com's The Real Deal. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Rafe Needleman.
And this is the show where we try to help you understand some tech topics, answer your questions, and we have a special guest to help us today, Mr. John Chaffee, CEO and Chairman of the Board of Directors of ASSIA Incorporated. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
All right.
Welcome aboard.
Nice to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're also a professor emeritus at Stanford University, right?
Yes, that's correct.
What did you teach at when you were at Stanford?
I was a professor in the electrical engineering department for about 25 years and taught the communications classes there.
Okay.
Communications, electrical communications?
Yeah,
electrical. Person-to-person
electrical communications.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we wanted to have Mr. Chaffee on to discuss internet connectivity to the home. We'll talk a little bit about what fiber is, what copper is, what the difference is between fiber to the curb, fiber to the node, all that stuff. Try to get you to wrap your head around that. And then we'll talk about something called DSM. We'll get to that in a little bit. So let's start it off. What is fiber and how does it carry a signal differently than copper? When people see this, oh, I got Verizon Fios or UVerse, how does that differ from DSL or cable?
Okay, well, both mechanisms, fiber and copper, of course, are ways of conveying messages from one place to another. The fiber you could think of as a pole of glass, if you will, and if you had a flashlight at one end, turning on and off the flashlight in different patterns creates a message that you transport from one end of the pole of glass to the other. And fiber is just a very, very thin pole, if you will, and it bends a little bit, but it carries messages with light. And there's just a single strand. Copper, on the other hand, is a couple of wires, and you could think of sending messages on those wires by connecting and disconnecting a battery so that some signal or voltage is carried across the pair of wires, and the pattern, again, represents the message on the copper.
So in both cases, you're talking about a digital signal either on or off.
Yes. Today, okay. Almost all communications transported on wires or fiber or, for that matter, wireless have become digital.
Okay. But in both cases, you can fit more than one signal on a wire or fiber at the same time, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
And one of the key differences is if you thought of the message that's being carried on a copper wire as being carried by this big muscular guy who enters this path, what happens is the further he goes, the smaller, the more tired he gets. And copper is also a good antenna, so it will attract noise. So anything from your hair dryer to lights to TV sets create interference. So as he progresses down this path and gets more and more tired, noise looks bigger to him. So it gets harder to discern the messages and understand what's been transported. So there's a length limit on copper. Fiber, on the other hand, has those same effects, but they're much less pronounced. So the light traverses the glass much further before it becomes attenuated, and very little noise can get into an optical fiber. So generally speaking, a fiber has, for any given length, will carry more messages than the copper will. So there's what we call a bandwidth difference in electrical engineering, meaning more messages can be transported on optical fiber.
So everybody should use optical instead.
Well, the problem with the optical fiber, of course, is the cost.
Ah.
And we have close to a billion phone lines around the world, and they're already in place. And they have data-carrying capability that can get up to 100 megabits or even to gigabit speeds, depending on the length. So if you can carry that type of data rate on telephone line twisted pairs, and that's sufficient for most broadband customers, then the cost of digging up streets or replacing rose bushes and so forth to install fiber to everyone's home can be very, very high relative to the zero cost of just using the existing copper.
And to be clear, that's what your company is about?
That's what my company is about.
Okay. So the whole push of getting people or municipalities or, Verizon or whatever doing fiber to the home is something you think is not always necessary, or is that...
That's correct. You will find that placing a fiber will cost about $20,000 to $1 million a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can divide that cost by lots of customers, then it becomes cost-effective to do that. But if it's just for one customer, it's certainly not cost-effective. So one of the questions at the beginning of the broadcast was fiber to the node, fiber to the curb. How far do you carry the fiber before you switch to copper? mm-hmm. is really the question.
And what is the difference between fiber to the node, fiber to the curb, fiber to the home? Because at some point, it's copper coming into my computer, right? It's not a fiber optic cable right up into the back of
That's right. In very few instances, you will see a fiber optic cable going all right to your computer, but those are rare. So it's really the length of the copper. Fiber to the known node means a longer length of copper, typically 1 kilometer, 3,000 feet roughly range for fiber to the node, whereas fiber to the curb is shorter. So it's going to be typically less than 1,000 feet of copper. So then a higher bandwidth on that shorter length of copper. But it costs more to do fiber to the curb than it costs to do fiber to the node, and fiber to the home is the most expensive.
What's the node?
The node is typically a point, it's a distribution node in telephone lingo, and it's basically a cabinet in your neighborhood where up to several hundred customers are served, typically green box that you see out there. So fiber goes there, and then the electronics that would convert signals for the copper, namely the DSL service, would begin at that node point. There's another smaller box at the curb, typically handles 10 customers, 20 customer type range, and so it's another potential termination point for the fiber. And electronics can be placed to carry the signals the rest of the way to the customer.
Okay.
So is it better to get fiber to the curb over fiber to the node? Do I get a better connection? If for instance, Fios is fiber to the curb, but UVerse is fiber to the node, does that make Fios better somehow?
Well, the potential maximum data carrying capability of fiber to the curb would be higher. So the question is whether the customer will use that data rate and is willing to pay for it.
Okay. So one of the things that you have been working on, your company has been working on, is called DSM. What is that?
Dynamic Spectrum Management. And basically, you can think of that as some sophisticated management software that would run in the telephone company's network somewhere, or even can be done over the internet, where the problems that are associated with the length of the copper pair are mitigated. Particularly, the noise is reduced substantially by dynamic spectrum management. There are a number of sources of noise, and they can be managed rather than just letting them occur and distort the signal. So typically, you can get a much higher data rate on the copper with DSM than you can achieve without DSM.
So essentially, you're taking the existing lines and squeezing a little more out of them.
Yes, we are definitely squeezing probably a lot more out of them than is currently possible with DSM.
So you go up, you go to the telcos or the ISPs. I guess the telcos are the ones who run the wires.
Yes.
Or the cables or whatever. And you say, scratch that fiber order and go with us instead. And then you take existing cable stuff that's already buried in the ground, and then you put little gizmos to boost or enhance the signal? Is that how it works?
It's actually all done in software. So we use the existing DSL networks that they have, and there is a computer workstation or cluster of them in the network. Uh-huh. And every day it solicits information from the DSL connection about how well is it performing. So not the actual user's messages, but just fundamental parameters like the speed and how much noise did we see today and yesterday, the day before. And then it will automatically optimize any programmable settings for that DSL on an individual line basis.
Cool. So this is for DSL, not, I mean, I have Comcast, which is over the cable line, so I guess that's coax.
Yes.
Not DSL. So this is, your technology is for DSL.
That's right.
Okay, and how fast can you get it up to?
Well, typically you would see today on the systems in the field, we have about 20 million customers we serve already, my company for DSL. Typically they are getting about a 25 to 30% reach increase, which means the same data rate, whether it's 6 megabits or 20 megabits, whatever the speed happens to be, will go about 20 or 30% further.
Okay.
And so that means about 50% more customers can get speeds than could earlier.
And that doesn't require new hardware out at the nodes?
No, it does not.
Only at the central office? Okay,
that's right.
So how much should the consumer care about this one way or the other? Is this even a consumer issue?
Well, it is a consumer issue in the sense that if they want to get video applications of whatever type, whether it's TV, IPTV, YouTube, other types of things, they typically require higher speeds to be able to service those applications. So DSM will carry more customers over the threshold of being enabled for the newer types of video services we see on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Now, our phone lines are open, 888-900-CNET, 888-900-2638. So if you're watching this live, you can give us a call. If you have a question about fiber or copper or DSL, John has agreed to hang around and answer those. And any other questions he happens to know the answer to. We can take some electrical engineering questions, I guess, as well.
I'm going to ask one last one about the consumer of broadband services in the home. And you've taught not just, you know, the technology that your company is based on, but communications, electrical engineering in general. How much speed do we need coming into the house anyway? I mean, yeah, technology keeps getting more and more advanced. There's more video, et cetera, but how much speed is enough?
Well, the answer to that question today is certainly 100 megabits per second or less per customer will satisfy all of the needs. And you can get that on copper to about 3,000 feet or 1 kilometer.
Okay. So 100 megabits, that's way more than I get. But I can't imagine ever using it except for an occasional software download. I mean, what?
That's why I said the maximum. Yeah. So if you had several HDTV signals coming to your home, you could get into that range.
So you're talking about when entertainment content switches over from being distributed the way it is over to IP, then you're going to need that kind of connection.
That's really a maximum that we know of today, and it's hard sometimes even to get to that maximum.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems like that maximum continually moves out a little bit as time goes on and more services come out. A few years ago, nobody was streaming any video, and now they are. Is there a limit on the horizon where it's like, okay, now that we've got high-def video streaming everywhere, we won't need more after a while?
Well, in my 30 years of working in the telecom industry, I've never seen the need for bandwidth go down. Sometimes it levels for a period of time, and then it goes up with new applications. Certainly the advent of web browsers in the mid-90s and such bumped up the need for bandwidth, and now some video applications are bumping up that need again. And mm-hmm. we should never underestimate the creativity of the many people out there who may come up with a new application that requires yet even more bandwidth.
Somebody will come up with something that'll eat up all that available bandwidth, huh?
If you build it, they will come.
They'll figure it
out. Direct brain broadcasting transplants.